Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
You know, you have, some of us, just one opportunity to be in the house of God like this every week. So when you come, make good use of it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And it's time to worship. Worship with all your heart. Because Jesus pays attention to it. The Bible tells us about a prostitute who came to meet Jesus in the Pharisee's house. And the Bible says that when she got to meet Jesus, she fell down at his feet. She started crying and wiping his feet with her hair. Praise the Lord. And the Pharisee was irritated because she's a prophet. And so in his mind, he said, if this man was a prophet, he's wiping my feet with the tears of her eyes and cleaning my feet with her hair. My point is this. She was worshiping him and he noticed. So when you come to the house of God and it's time to worship, worship, because you're not worshiping man, you're worshiping God. And he notices, praise the Lord. The Bible says that those that fear the Lord speak often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and said, they shall be mine. And a book of remembrance was written for them. People just came together and started talking about God. And he wrote their name in a book of remembrance. He was going to bless them specially, praise the Lord. So he pays attention, he notices the thing that you do. So in the house of God, participate. Glory to God. And one way to participate is to respond. Respond. Listen to this. Respond. Right. The Bible tells us that Paul was at Lystra preaching. It was a new town. They had never heard of Jesus. They had never, in fact, these guys were pagan, idolaters. And he was preaching. And while he was preaching, there was a man there who had never walked since he was born. But the man was listening to him. There were many people there. This man had never walked. You know, if you had been walking before and you had an accident, at least you know how to move. Praise the Lord. But this man had never walked since he was born. And Paul was preaching. And the man was paying attention to him. Think about it. Paul was not a doctor. So the man should not have paid attention. Because he doesn't have a drug for his sickness. Do you understand? But he was listening as Paul was teaching. And the Bible says, Paul, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, talked to the man. He said, rise up on your feet. The man could have said, is he talking to me? Are you in this place? Because if there's one person you should not tell, rise up on your feet, is the person that cannot walk. I can be here and say, everybody get up because you can get up. But I shouldn't tell somebody who cannot walk to get up. But the man was so captivated by Paul's message. Immediately Paul said, get up on your feet. He knew it was him and he responded. And the Bible says he leaped up and he stood. Just by responding, he got a miracle. The other people there probably wouldn't have paid attention. But he paid attention and he got something. Praise the Lord. So when you come to God's house, you're coming for yourself. Don't let your worries make you miss God's word for you. If God wants to give you anything, he's going to use his word. If he gives you food, you eat and then you'll be hungry the next day. But his word stays with you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, it's still a month of satisfaction. Say, it's my month of satisfaction. Yes, and so respond. The man responded. Paul said, get up. There are people that everybody has got to know before they realize, oh, are we supposed to stand? Paul said, get up. And the man got up immediately. He knew it was him. He wasn't distracted. And that's what Satan does. At times, God has a word for you, then he distracts you. It's when the word for your situation that is troubling you is coming, then you start sleeping. And then you miss it. But don't do that. Pay attention, praise the Lord. And respond, glory to God. Hallelujah. So we said it's a moment of satisfaction. And it is God that will tell you what will satisfy you because he made you. Things cannot satisfy you because things get better and better. In the 90s, someone could have had a phone. You know that ringing phone? Had like 7 in the house and thought, I have arrived. But now, his house will be a museum because nobody uses that phone anymore. Praise the Lord. So things cannot satisfy you. I remember them growing up, you had a B2 car. Do you remember the B2? That white, blue, different colored car, very special car. And then if you drove it, it's okay, you're still accomplished. Now people wonder what's happening with you. Why are you driving that? Even taxis don't use it anymore. So my point is, things expire. They become obsolete. So things cannot satisfy you. Else you keep looking for more. Only God can tell you what will satisfy you. And we learn from Jesus. He said his satisfaction is to do the will of him that sent him and to finish his work. That is satisfaction.
knowing that at every given moment, if God met you, he will not be upset with you. He knows that you're doing what he told you to do. That is some confidence. Praise the Lord. There are people who don't even know they have a purpose in this life. It's an amazing thing. You know, I was thinking this morning, just thinking about it. What if God gave you everything you ever wanted? All the money you ever need for small, and he's assuring you that it will never fail. Then why would you be going to work? There are people that have linked their purpose to their jobs. Are you seeing it? What if God gave you all the money? Then it will prove to you that your job cannot be your purpose. Are you in this place? What if God helped all your family members? Don't say, me, I don't want money. I just want all my family members to succeed. Not all of us, they grow. All right? So what if God helped all of them? Then what will you be doing here? You are here for his pleasure. Praise the Lord. So even if you have all the money in the world, even though he helps everybody in your family, you're still living for him. You're doing everything he wants you to. Go to John 4, verse 34. So just don't exist. Tell your neighbor, don't be existing. Be living for a reason. Tell the other person, don't be existing. Be living for a reason. Praise the Lord. Not just the exist. Someone says, how you dare they exist? For what? You have a purpose. Say, I have a purpose. 4 verse 34. Jesus said unto them, my meat, my satisfaction, what gives me joy, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Common sense. If someone sent you somewhere, they sent you for a reason. Abi? If your mom says, run to your uncle place, run to your uncle place, run, and then you run and go there. Next question should be what? What am I doing? Even your uncle asks you, what are you doing here? If someone sent you somewhere, there's a reason. Now, if your mom said, run to your uncle and collect the paper. I forgot paper, I'm cooking soup, I need the paper. And then you go there and sit down and start watching TV. Or you go there and sit down and start training your cousin, teaching them maths. Have you done what your mom told you to do? If you're less than 12 years, when you come back, you know that paper you didn't get, you will see it. Because even though teaching your cousin is a good thing, that's not what she sent you there for. You do what you're asked to do. And there are people in this world that are just doing nice things. They think that if God sees the nice thing I'm doing, at least I will bribe him with that. Let me tell you something. Hey, listen to me. Someone that can afford everything, you better give him what he asks you. Let me explain that. If there was a billionaire, all right, in pounds, and he can buy any car he wants, even if the car is not in existence, he can talk to the manufacturers and buy everything. Then he sent you to go and buy a Toyota Corolla. You go there to buy a Toyota Corolla, but you see a Toyota Hilux. And you say, no, you want to buy this one. And you bring it for him. Are you a smart person? No. Because he can afford that Hilux. Are you seeing that? For him to tell you to go and buy that one, because he can afford anything, it means that one is the most important one at that point. Praise the Lord. So there are people in this world that are just doing nice things. You know, they say, I'm helping people. They're like Cornelius, I help the poor, I do everything. Let me tell you something. If you don't do it, someone else will do it. Do what God has called you to do. Praise the Lord. And that's the reward he would give you. Let me give you another example. Then we'll go to 2 Timothy 4. Imagine you went to exam hall. There are three parts of the course. Part A, Part B, Part C. And you read Part A and B very well. Are you paying attention to me? You read it. You can even quote it verbatim. Enter the hall, you can quote everything. You know it from A to Z. And then you get to the exam hall, and all the question is Part C. Praise the Lord. Now, will you sit down and start answering the question nobody asks you? You start writing Part A. Maybe Part A is, what is a ball? Part B is the answer to what is a chair. Part C is the answer to what is a cup. And then you see what is a cup alone. Would you cancel the question? And then write what is a ball. You can do that. Are you in this place? And while you're doing that, you can ask for extra sheets. And everybody will be hyping you, but you will fail. When the result comes out, people can even be shouting for you. How can this person fail? But because you did the one nobody sent you to do, even though you did it very well. And so in life, you can't just be doing things because you think it's nice. God must be happy. God should just sit and be happy. No. Do what he asked you to do. Because there are other people too. And they also have to be, don't be doing someone else's work and be ruining it for the person. Imagine God tells someone to do something, you go and do it and spoil everything. How can you get a blessing?
Praise the Lord.
So Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. If God sent you here, he gave you a purpose. Find out what it is and start doing it. And there's a simple way to know. Find out what God is doing and be doing it with him. Did you get that? Find out what God is doing. What is God doing? He's involved in winning souls and growing his church. At least that's one way to start. And he says, and to finish his work. The people that start their purpose and they get discouraged. I like it. He didn't just say, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and stop there. He said, it's to do the will of him that sent me and to finish it. The people that start and they let challenges get them down. Family challenges, health challenges, financial challenges. No. One thing is certain. If you're doing what God called you to do, you will face challenges. Jesus promised persecution. Praise the Lord. You would face, let's go there, 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. And let me tell you some challenges are usually not sweet. Else it's not a challenge. Have you ever seen someone say, how are you doing right now? Right now, I'm just going through so many challenges. I'm very happy. He said, that is a serious challenge. So challenges are usually not sweet. It will pain you. It will touch you. It will make you upset. Jesus said, offenses shall come. Meaning that every challenge has the possibility or the potential to offend you. That's why it's a challenge. Has the potential to discourage you. This purpose God even gave yourself. All the things you're seeing, you need to question, did God really send you? But finish the work. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy 4 verse 7, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I told you guys, when you go to school, you're learning the subject. That's your course. You finish the course in school. There's a course in life. Finish it. He says, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Do you know your course? You know, and it's so beautiful, he uses the word course. In university, there are different students. Are they all studying the same thing? Come on, talk to me. Are they all studying the same thing? Some engineering, and even in engineering, there are differences. Chemical engineering. Imagine the person in chemical that registered to study chemical engineering went to be attending classes for geography. Wrote exams for geography. After 5 years, he says he's done. Is that person done? He has not finished his course. And there are people like that in this world. God has a special course for you. Find out what it is and finish it. Praise the Lord. But he says, I have finished my course. But he starts by saying, I have fought a good fight. Meaning as you're writing your course, you will have battles. But it's not battles with demons. It's a fight of faith. What does that mean? It means that you have things that will try to question what God has told you. Try to make you ask questions. Why were you even born in Nigeria? How can your purpose be in this country? No joy is in Japan. Try to discourage you. But remember what God has told you and fight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Fight. If Satan could tempt Jesus, he can tempt anybody. It is nature. To tempt with discouragement. So fight the good fight. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And let me tell you something. In life and in fulfilling your purpose, don't choose the easy way. Don't choose the hard way. Choose God's way. Let me tell you something. At times, God's way might seem too simple. Still do it. For example, he tells us be anxious for nothing. That means don't worry, pray. That might seem too simple. I mean, you need to pay your rent. Not just that, you need to pay your school fees. Not just that, someone is in a hospital. You need money. What you want to hear right now is send account details. You open the Bible, God says, don't worry. It might seem too simple, but do it. I told you about the man that could not walk. Paul said, get up and walk. Is that not an insult? If you could not walk and someone says, get up, he said, do you think I'm lying? But yeah, insults me, finish now. That's what you say. And Jesus started it. In Mark 2, the four friends brought a man who was paralyzed. This one, he was lying down. At least Paul's one was sitting down. This one was lying down. And you think this case is so serious. Jesus was on the phone, kneel down and pray. But that's not what he did. He said, man, get up and walk. The man should have said, you think I'm lying down here for fun? But he responded. It seemed too easy, but it worked. I'm remembering Elisha and Naaman. Naaman was a Syrian general, but he was a leper. And he heard about Prophet Elisha. So he went to Elisha, and you know, the king has said, heal this man. He went to the king of Israel. Praise the Lord. Listen to this. Naaman
was a general in another country. And while he was a general in another country, he had a house girl who was from Israel, who was a leper. And lepers are offensive, do you understand? And so the girl told her madam that, this man, there is somebody in Israel that can heal him of his leprosy. So the man went to the king, because if there's someone that can heal you, you should be the king. So he went to the king, and the king of his country told the king, deliver this man of his leprosy. The king of Israel started shouting. He said, this is how this man is looking for trouble. Do I look like God that can save somebody from leprosy? And then Elisha heard of it. Pay attention to this. And Elisha said, tell the man to come. Praise the Lord. Such confidence. He said, tell the man to come. So the man came in front of Elisha's house. Leprosy is a serious case. Are you in this place? You would think that the man is coming. Elisha would say, bring rope, tie him, let's not see him. No, Elisha did not even come out. From inside his house, he told the servant, tell him to go to the River Jordan and dip 7 times. In other words, pay attention to this. The man was leprous. It's not like he was dirty. He did not need to bath. Are you in this place? He was leprous. This was a skin condition. He goes to meet Elisha, and Elisha says, he doesn't even come out. Sends a message and says, tell him to go and dip 7 times in the River Jordan. Naaman was offended. He started going. He said, the rivers in my country, I don't know better than the one in Jordan. Why should I go and bathe there? Praise the Lord. Think about it. You think maybe, and he even said, I thought he would come and wave his hand and touch my body. You know, he had expectations. He didn't even see the guy. The guy just said to seven and said, go and bath. But make sure it's 7 times. In, out, in, out. Am I a child? He was going. It was one of his seven that came and met him and said, please, sir, if he had told you to do something hard, would you not have done it? This one is simple. Go and do it. And the Bible says, he went. And his skin, think about it. You know, most of you are adults, old. His skin became like baby skin. That's what God can do. But the instruction was so simple. My point is, in fulfilling purpose, don't say, this thing is too hard. It's too simple. If it's God, it has to be tough. Or don't say, this thing is too tough. If it's God, it has to be easy. Do the word of God. Even if it's too easy, do it. Even if it seems tough, do it. For example, it says, guard your heart. Part of it are the issues of life. That might seem tough because that means that you cannot just listen to anything. Because it's not my ears. Can't I hear what I want to hear? No, God says, guard your heart. That means you can't just see everything. It's not even they say, come and look. You say, what's going on? No. Praise the Lord. It's not everywhere that is happening that you run to. Guard your heart. So your friends might be going somewhere, all of them. And it looks like fun, but you know there's iniquity there. It might seem tough because peer pressure. You two, when they come back, you know they're going to talk about it. Did you see that girl? Did you see that skirt? See that guy head? But you never saw the head. Praise the Lord. So you might really want to go. It might seem tough, but do the word. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, do the word. Finish your course. Don't look for the easy way out. Let me show you something about Jesus that is so inspiring. John 12, verse 27. John 12, verse 27. Praise the Lord. This, he knew his time had come to die. Look at what he said. He said, now is my soul troubled. So he was bothered. This is Jesus. He said, now I'm bothered. Do you understand? You know, Jesus' challenge was unique. Abraham's challenge was that God told him to give birth to a seed. Do you understand? In him shall all the families be blessed. And I told you, he had a challenge unique to his purpose. His purpose was to born Pekin. Do you understand? He now had a barren wife that was old. And he too was so old. The Bible says his body was dead. So you think that is God not seeing? Doesn't God have eye? He should look for a young man to make him. Do you understand? He should change the promise, but that's not how God sees. Look at David. He was called to be king. But before he became king, he's the only king that was anointed 3 times. The present king nearly killed him many times. He had a challenge unique to his purpose. Praise the Lord. Look at Joseph. What was his story? To deliver his family and become, you know, the ruler. Do you understand? But what happened? He was sold as a slave, then became a houseboy, then became a prisoner in another land. How can that purpose be fulfilled? Well, guess what? Oh, praise the Lord.
in the eyes of men, when the guy was kidnapped, are you in this place? Sold as a slave, became a houseboy. He looks like someone that is moving backwards. You know, in life we say we're making progress. But this guy was a son, favorite son, and he went from favorite son to houseboy to prisoner. That's like moving backwards. But in reality, he was making progress. Because as he became a prisoner, he became closer to the throne. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And now look at Jesus. His own purpose was to come and die for the world. And it's almost time. And what troubled him was the fact that he would become sin. Meaning that God would turn his back from him. He'll become irritating to God because God cannot behold sin. So here he says, my soul is troubled. You know, I said if it's challenged, you will feel it. Are you in this place? You might feel troubled. You might, you know, get agitated. It happened to Jesus too. He says, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? In other words, now I'm troubled, what should I do? He said, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Oh, praise the Lord. He said, now I'm bothered. Should I pray to God to deliver me from this hour? Meaning that, should I pray to God that I don't want to go through this challenge again? He said, no. He says, for this cause came I unto this hour. This is why I came. So at times in life, there's a challenge to your purpose. Don't look for the easy way out and say, I know they do again. Let's leave purpose first. No. Don't say, Father, save me from this hour. No. Say, this is why I came and I will win. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's Jesus for you. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Don't chicken out. Maybe you're supposed to be in this country and there's a purpose for you, but things are so tough. You decide you're going to India. You're not doing again. In fact, you now negotiate with God that let you just go to India for like 7 years and save money and then come back. You have looked for the easy way out. Jesus said, but now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Should I say, Father, save me from this hour? He said, should I pray that way? Should I behave that way? But there are people that behave that way. Once things get tough, they say, I'm not doing again. That's what Jesus said. Should I say, save me from this hour? He says, no. This is why I came. Praise the Lord. He says, for this cause came I unto this hour. This is my time. Say, this is my time. Yes. Irrespective of the challenge, it's your time today. Win. And he should go to 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You have to read this. You have to read this. If you don't pay attention, pay attention to this one. He says, there are no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. I like this. There are people that think that the challenge they are facing is only them. It's only them. No other person in this world has ever faced it. Their own is very unique. No. God says, whatever temptation is common to man. Meaning it's not that deep. Praise the Lord. In other words, God is not as concerned as you. See, even God safe is very worried about this challenge. No. He said, there are no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. He says, but God is faithful, praise the Lord. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able? Meaning that even if you're going to face challenge in this world, God is the umpire. He will ensure that no challenge that can crush you will come your way. Any challenge that comes your way, it means you can win, praise the Lord. He says, he will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. If you cannot handle it, it will not come. If it came, it means you can handle it. And remember, God knows what's inside of you. God knows more than you know yourself. Have you seen that person that says, look, I'm so tired. I'm not going anywhere again. Better sit down on the ground. I'm not going anywhere again. I'm so tired. At least go and have your bath. Just come out from work and say, I'm not moving. In fact, I can't even move my leg like this. Then the person hears, if they come on, if they go. He doesn't even know when he moved from the parlor to the cupboard in the bedroom. How did he get that energy? Honestly, when he said he was tired, he meant it. But he still had the potential to run. He didn't know. Are you in this place? I used to give this joke, you know, years ago. There's a particular, when I was coming back from church, there's a particular junction. It's a cross. T-junctions are bad. Cross junctions are worse. It's a cross junction. And so there are always many buses there. Always traffic. Always traffic. It's not long traffic, but a lot of buses, a lot of traffic. So one night we were coming back, and then some guy started throwing bottle, but it still looked like joke. Until police ran and we heard bullet go, brothers and sisters.
Till today, I don't know how every car in that place disappeared. Oh, I'm serious. And of course, I was at the front, are you in this place? And the police was running towards me. I don't know that they entered the houses. I don't know. I just told miracle. So this place can be clear of us. My point is, at times you don't know what you're capable of. But he's telling you that if the challenge came your way, you are capable. Praise the Lord. Because God will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. He says, But will with the temptation to make a way to escape. God is so kind. Meaning that every challenge has the ability you need to win it. He says, with the temptation to make a way to escape. Someone says, but Shabi, he said there's no way out. Why did he say escape? This is the way to escape. That you may be able to what? Bear it. Meaning that for every challenge that comes your way, it has in it the ability. Firstly, you can handle it. Secondly, you can stay there and win. And that's why Jesus said, should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? I said, no. This is why I came. I would win. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And let me tell you something. Any challenge you don't win right now will come back in another level. You know, life is such a reflection of God. Let me give you an example. When you go to school and they write exam, if you don't pass, what happens? You repeat the class. And it's even worse because now your juniors are with you, so more shame. Are you in this place? Let's say you refuse to pass up from by 3 again, you repeat it again. Meaning your juniors that met you have gone, double shame. So the challenge you don't win right now will come again and it will be tougher. Are you in this place? Not like you cannot handle it, but then the circumstances could be more difficult. And so when the challenge comes, ensure you win, praise the Lord. Because there are other levels in life. There are other bigger challenges that should come. But you have to pass the first one. So you can maneuver. Instead of using your faith for that head pain, you take headache, you take paracetamol, you take painkiller, until the one hits you that there's no painkiller. You look for prayer, until the prayer itself seems like it's not working. Why? Because God wants you to use your faith. And so he's telling you that with the temptation, he will make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. And so there will be a fight of faith. There will be challenges to your faith. Challenges to question what God has told you. But keep remembering what God has said. Praise the Lord. And I told you last week, it's a fight of faith. And faith comes by hearing the word of God. That means a fight to remain in the word of God. That means the answer is very simple. That means all I have to do is keep reminding myself of what God has said. So no matter anything Satan tries to do to make me doubt, fear, I'm always remembering what God has said. I'm always remembering the testimonies of God. Praise the Lord. And I will win. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. It's a fight to remain in God's word. And the best news is this. Pay attention to this. Because it's a fight of faith. And it's a fight to remain in God's word. Anytime you spend time with God's word, you're increasing your faith. Abi? Anytime you spend time with God's word, you're increasing your faith. But there's something even extra. The Bible says the word of God is full of grace. Meaning that anytime you spend time with God's word, you're not just increasing your faith, you're increasing the grace in your life. Go to John 1. John 1 verse 14, we'll just stay there. Now, what is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. It is the divine ability bestowed on you that you don't deserve. That's grace. If it's really grace, there is nothing you can do for it. It's unmerited favor. So it's like the guy that is giving a car free of charge. Normally, he should pay for that car. But then he gets unmerited favor. So he can't say the reason why I got it because I paid. No, if it's grace, there is no work attached. Praise the Lord. It's like the person that gets promotion in the workplace. If it's grace, that's you. Praise the Lord. If it's grace, no qualification, you too. No qualification is needed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It means that because of favor, you can get things free of charge, even though you don't merit it. Means because of grace, things that you don't deserve will come to you. That's what the Bible says.
Things you don't deserve will come to you because it's unmerited favor. Have you seen someone that just wants to favor you? Just wants to bless you? Just wants to give you things? Say, what did I do? Nothing. That's grace. Now the Bible tells us that the word of God is full of grace. Do you know? Jesus is the word of God. See what the Bible says, 1 verse 14. It says, and the word was made flesh. Talking about the word of God. And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you, the people that have always struggled and worked hard for everything they have. Even getting admission into school, it was fasting and prayer and connection and begging in the HOD's office. Getting job, we call the same thing. Referral, who knows who. Always struggling. And that is a way. But there's also grace. Are you in this place? There's also grace. When the guy is not, it doesn't matter who he knows, who doesn't know. They'll just give it to him. That's grace. Are you in this place? Pay attention to this. There are people that they will tell you that even before I passed my year, we went to 3 days fasting and prayer. My father had to write a letter to the dean of the department or the faculty so that I'll get my admission because my admission got stuck. Have you seen people like that? Always problem. Anytime they want promotion, useless problem. And the promotion is not even based to their destiny. But now he's telling us there's something called grace. Where as you enter, oh my goodness, all the doors are opening for you. And let me tell you, some there are different levels of this grace. Because there are different types of doors. There's a door that when you lock it, the handle is bad. So before you open that door, you have to push in. Are you in this place? But the door will still open. But you have to push. There's another one that has easy handle. You don't push. You move it and the door opens. The door still open. Are you in this place? There's another one that you don't do like this. You just use your fingerprint. Are you in this place? So I think the one that is easy to open is better than the one that you have to push, right? And the one that you use your finger and touch it and it opens is better than the one that you have to do like this, right? But then there are other doors that as you're coming, it's opening. That's increased grace. Now the question becomes, how can I increase the grace of God in my life? He says the word of God is full of grace. Meaning that if I get the word of God, I have grace. If I get more, I have more grace. If I get more, I have more grace. So this is my purpose I'm supposed to fulfill. It's not every time because it's purpose I have to kill somebody first or punch somebody. No, I can operate with grace. So it says the word of God is full of grace and truth and reality. Go to 2 Peter 1 verse 2. So someone says, do you have enough money for it? Don't bother. Don't get concerned. Oh, praise the Lord. Someone says, they are plotting against you. I told you about David. They are plotting against you in the high places. Who do you know? You might not know anybody, but you have grace. You know what you can do, and you get the grace required to win. Are you in this place? And that's what David was saying. He said, princes did sit and speak against me. Meaning that the kings, the captains of the industry were plotting against me. He said, but your servant did meditate on your statutes. Meaning that I might not know the princes. Are you in this place? Imagine you're in a company or your department. In fact, let's say your dean has written down your name for no good reason. You might not know a dean or another department. Are you in this place? You might not know the VC. But there's something called grace. Meaning that it doesn't matter who you know, who you don't know. It will work for you. So David said, princes did sit and speak against me, but your servant did meditate on thy statutes. Meaning that I might not know anybody, but I have grace. I can increase in the grace. Are you in this place? The more I take in the word of God, the more grace. The more I take in the word of God, the more grace. Imagine if I told you that there are 100 nylons at the back, waterproof, the back, and each of them has $1,000. And as many as you can get is yours. 100 waterproof. How many will you collect? How many would you collect? I need a number. Somebody, 100. How many would you collect? One. Who will be humble to take one? So everybody can get one. Nobody. Two. 100. Who will take 100? Come on, don't be shy. 100. Some of you don't know. You take 99. Praise the Lord. Here's my point. It's not about the waterproof. It's about what's inside. The more waterproof you get, the more money you get. That's like the word of God and grace. The word of God has grace. It's full of grace. The more of the word of God you pay attention to, the more grace is seen in your life. So people just want to favor you. Are you in this place? Because you spend time with the word. You come into the place because you spend so much time with the word of God. You enter and the aura of the word is just around you. So there are cases like that. I told you guys, the people that think that because of their intelligence and the way they answer the question in the interview, that's why they gave them the job. Story. Chances are the person that you were even talking to was not listening to you. But there are other people that they enter inside the place and the person says, I just like you. I'm giving you the job. Haven't you heard things like that? That's the grace of God. Did you hear about Esther? You know the story, don't you? When she entered the place, the king's eunuch said, no, it's you. What did she do to deserve it? Nothing. So if you keep calculating that, no, there must be something you've done. You've missed grace. He says the word of God is full of grace and truth. 2 Peter 1 verse 2. He says, grace, praise the Lord. Yeah, I told you about that nylon, that waterproof at the back. So you take one, right? Then you add another one. Then you add another one. 1 + 5 is what? 6. No, let me not use that. 2 + 5 is what? 7. So that's a lot. If you had 2, you added 5, that's 7. 2 × 5 is what? So it's more. So when it's multiplied, it is more than addition. Now he's telling you something. He's saying grace and peace can be multiplied to you. Meaning that you're not just adding, it's in multiples. Are you in this place? It says, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How do you get that knowledge? By studying the word. By studying the word. And so the word of God gives you the grace you require. Praise the Lord. It tells us in Acts 20 verse 32 that he commends us to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. So when you spend time with the word of God, it's like a treasure trove. Do you understand? A grace trove. The more time you spend in the word of God, the more the grace of God just rubs up on you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Remember, if it's grace, you just accept it. Are you in this place? You know, someone can come and give you a car key and you ask, what's the catch? Why are you giving me this key? Praise the Lord. Why? Because you're not sure this one is grace. So somebody says, no, I've bought you, you know, 2023 Toyota Corolla. I say, why? Praise the Lord. There's people that will not collect it. This one is money medicine. Why? Because they are not sure it's grace. But if they are convinced it is grace, are you in this place? Let's say before you left church, I told you that you're going to get a car. So you know that it's the grace of God. So if someone came and gave you the car key, you would accept it. You wouldn't ask, what should I do in return? No. You wouldn't ask, why are you giving me? No. You just accept it because it's grace. So when you study God's word, it says there's grace in the word of God. And as you study God's word, it tells you so many wonderful things. You don't ask, is it like that? Is it just like that? No, you accept it. You accept what he says. All you require to fulfill purpose, he tells you in the word of God. When you read it, you accept it. You say, it's mine. Praise the Lord. You know, at times you are speaking the word of God. You are confessing the word of God, declaring the word of God. And someone can be sitting there saying that, is it just like that? Favor is yours, not like that. Wisdom is yours, not like that. But that's why it's grace. You don't work for it. Praise the Lord. That man that could not walk in Lystra that Paul talked to, what could he have done for it? Nothing. He was just listening to the word. Are you seeing that? He was just listening to the word. And then he started walking. Jesus met somebody who was infirm for 38 years and could not move in John chapter 5. He told the man, rise up, carry your bed and be going home. The man got up, took his bed and started going home. What could he have done to deserve that? Nothing. It is the grace of God. When the word of God meets someone, he wants to give the person grace. He wants to bless the person and favor the person. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so knowing that the word of God is full of grace, it matters how you receive the word. It's not enough to read the word. It matters how you receive the word. You have to respond to the word of God. Praise the Lord. Let me give you an example. If you read in your Bible, and I'll show you in a bit. If you read in your Bible that God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Are you in this place? Pay attention to this. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a very strong promise. When someone tells you, I will never leave you, it means no matter what you do, I'll still be there. When the person tells you, I will never forsake you, you know what forsaking means? It means the person has options. So, for example,
You have two options. Stay at home and watch football, or go and visit your mother and wash plates. All right? Now, if you choose to stay at home and watch football, you have forsook visiting your mom. If you choose to go and visit your mom, you have forsook football. Now, imagine you read in your Bible, it says, I will never leave you nor forsake. God is talking. It means that there is nothing can be more important to God than you. He will never forsake you. Meaning that something cannot be happening somewhere. Say, my son, just wait, let me check what's going on there. No, he'll always be with you. All right. That's some grace. Because there is nothing you can do to merit that. What can you give God to pay him to always be with you? You can pay security men, even those ones who live here at times. But God says he will always be with you. There's nothing you can pay him. There's no work you can do to deserve that. That is grace. But when you read that, you have to personalize it. You have to accept it. So now he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What do you say? Do you quote it too? You start quoting it. You will never leave me nor forsake you. You will never. No, you've not personalized it. Knowing that he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, then you boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. Why? Because he will never leave me nor forsake me. Even if man increase the price of things in the market, I will not fear. Because the Lord is my helper. Are you in this place? Some can say things are hard in this country. Oh, we need helper. The Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. What I just told you is in the Bible. Go to Hebrews 13 verse 5. Hebrews 13 verse 5. And we're going to do some examples. So you learn how to accept the grace of God in the word. You know, at times some people can be reading the Bible, and there's no grace in their life. They're still struggling, you know, things are upsetting, even though they're reading the Bible. It's one thing to read the word of God. It's another thing to accept the grace and walk in it. We're going to learn. Verse 5. We are finishing, so pay attention to this. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Hallelujah. He says, and be content with such things as you have. Let me stop here a bit. He's saying in your life, don't be jealous of anybody. Whatever you have, be content. Are you in this place? Don't be jealous. Don't be tricking eye. You don't have red shoes. You have black. Wear it with joy. Are you in this place? Don't start crying, God, why don't I have red shoes? My other friends have many colors. Leave it. Enjoy the one that you have. He says, be content with such things as you have. Are you in this place? Because when you require something, God is right there to help you. I'll give you an example. I think I've shared it before. Look at Moses. God appears to Moses at the backside of the desert. He said, Moses, I want you to go and rescue my people from Egypt. Now, Egypt was not a small country. It's not your compound. It was a whole country with Pharaoh. Are you in this place? They had soldiers. They had armory, and for years, 400 years, they had been in bondage. 400. Moses should have asked, I'm going to rescue those people. That's nice. You are the God of the future. Give me weapons. You know, God could have said, all right, Moses, you're going to rescue the Israelites from Egypt. I'm going to show you something that I've never been done before. I'm going to give you a nuclear bomb. Are you in this place? Like they're arming Ukraine right now with so many weapons. Before Moses carried all those weapons from where he is to Egypt, he would have died. Because it'll be too heavy. Are you in this place? God didn't need the weapons. He asked him, what's in your hand? He said, a rod. Imagine Moses was covetous. I said, God, why is it only a rod? Why is it only a rod? Is fancy name for stick. Why is it only a stick? How can I use stick to deliver these people? But he says, listen, let your life be without covetous. Don't envy anybody with what you have. God can use what you have to give you what you need. He says, what do you have in your hand? Moses said, a stick. God said, all right, put it on the ground. He put it on the ground, became a snake. There's no small snake, oh. Because the Bible says, well, his own stick became a snake. The man ran. There was no time gap between when the stick became a snake and when he ran. To show it was a big snake. And we know it was a big snake because eventually that snake swallowed three other snakes. God was trying to teach him that I can use whatever you have. I can use whatever you have. Even if it's just a stick, celebrate it. Are you in this place? A widow went to meet Elisha. He said, the debtors are coming for her and her son. Elisha said, what's in your house? He said, oil. How does that solve anybody's problem? It's not even crude oil. Elisha said, all right. We can use that. Praise the Lord.
See, I like their responses because it's very smart. Moses could have said, when God asked him, what's in your hand? Nothing, no. Is it just this stick? Nothing. Because there are people like that. They are ungrateful. They never recognize what they have. Elijah could have asked the widow, what's in your hand? She said, I said nothing. That's why they want to carry my sons. Nothing there, nothing. You have someone right now, maybe it's only 2,050 naira that is in your account. Someone said, what do you have? Nothing. He read, shishi, nothing there. Listen, he says, don't be covetous. Are you in this place? With that rod, that stick, Moses did wonders in Egypt. I always think about it. The children of Israel left captivity, Egypt, without holding a sword. But the Bible says, by the time they left Egypt, Egypt was destroyed. Destroyed completely. Because with what he had, God could do wonders. So he says, in your life, don't be covetous. Don't sit down thinking, my uncle's son right now is in the UK. Celebrate where you are. Are you in this place? Because God has a purpose for you here. Are you in this place? Celebrate what you have. Celebrate where you are. Let me tell you something. Ungrateful people don't go far. And if they go far, they're going far to destruction. Because they're ungrateful. They never see what they have. He says, don't be that way. I'm going somewhere. He says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's why he says, be content. Because God is with you. Are you in this place? It's like that example. If you were going to school and you came to meet me and said, you need some things to resume school. I said, how much do you need? He said, okay, well, I need like 50,000 naira for provision. I said, okay, I'm going to give it to you. It's okay. I also have to get some things for my hostel. Everything like 75,000 naira. It's okay. I'm going to give it to you. It's okay. Actually, I think I need a car to be moving around school. I said, okay, I'm going to give it to you. And I said, but I also need fuel for the journey. And I said, you know what? Instead of me just giving you money, let me go with you. Isn't that bigger? It means that at every junction, whatever you need, I'm right there. You don't need to call me. I'm right there. Meaning that when you enter school, you might not enter with a keg of fuel. But when you need the fuel, I am right there. So he's saying, let your life be without covetousness and be content with such things that you have. For that said, I will never leave you. He's right there. You might not have all the money you need right now to resume school, but rest assured, he's right there. When you require that money, he'll be there to give it to you. Praise the Lord. He says, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse 6. So that we may boldly say, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Is that what the Bible says? So when you read your Bible, this is so important. And you see something great in the Word of God. It's not for you to be quoting it. Personalize it and make it yours. Are you in this place? The word is lambano. Take it and make it yours. He had said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What is that situation that you need God in? Apply that word to your situation. Praise the Lord. For you, you might be scared of thieves. You don't say, he will never leave me or face me. No, you say, listen, nobody can hurt me. No thief can break through because God is right here. Praise the Lord. He says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And so when you read in the Bible, he says he had said, so that we may boldly say. Why has he said it in the Bible? So that you will boldly say it too. Why has he given you his grace in the word of God for you to see? So you will boldly say that grace and apply it to your life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me give you some example. Go to Acts 20 verse 32. I have three verses here that we can use. So when you go back when you're reading your Bible, you know how to, you know, take advantage of the grace of God in the word. Acts 20 verse 32. He says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. You know, they tell us beans is full of protein. Right? I don't know if you know that. Until one day they said there's also carbohydrate too. But they shall said beans is full of protein. Praise the Lord. Rice is full of what? Okay, you know that. So let's use rice. Rice is full of carbohydrates. Right? So someone can come and meet you with a plate of rice and say, if you eat this food, it has carbohydrate inside. Are you in this place? So when you eat the food, carbohydrate has entered inside of you. Praise the Lord. Now when you take the rice, you no longer say, I have rice. You don't stop there. You say, oh, the carbohydrate is now working inside of me. The nutrient is now working inside of me. Because it's true. Praise the Lord. So when he tells you that he commends you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. All right. This is true. So what do I do? Anytime I spend the time with the word of God, I say, oh, the word of God is what? Building me up. I don't say, the word of God is able to build me up. The word of God is able. It's like eating the rice and saying, the rice has carbohydrate inside. The rice has carbohydrate. No, you say the carbohydrate is now working inside of me. So it says, the word of his grace is able to build you up. So what's your confession when you take the word of his grace and being built up? Are you seeing that? I'm being built up higher and higher above the challenges of this world. It says that it will give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Praise the Lord. Let's look at one last one because of time. Philippians 2 verse 13. Glory to God. It says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. When you see this verse, how do you respond? You see, he tells you he has said, so that you may boldly say. So anytime you see the word of God, he expects you to respond. Say something. That's what he's saying. Anytime you see God's word, there must be a response. Say something. Now, he says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. What should be your response? God is working in me. Are you seeing that? God is working in me. You don't say it is God which worketh in me. No. You take it and make it yours. God is at work in me. Meaning that I don't think vain thoughts. I don't think useless thoughts. I don't have useless desires. Because God is at work in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Say this confession. Say, God is working in me right now. The greater one is active in me. Infusing me with clarity. Infusing me with direction. Infusing me with ideas. Infusing me with innovation. According to God's good pleasure. Say, I always do what pleases God. Because he's working in me. I don't have vain thoughts. I don't have vain desires. I have God's thoughts. And I have God's desires. Just go ahead and thank God for what you've learned today.